Welcome to the program today. My name is Keith Smith, and I'm an instructor at the Calvary Chapel Bible Ministry School of La Mirada. And this week we are going through chapter 7 of the book of Romans, verse by verse, with Pastor Brian Parrish, looking at the law in New Testament theology. Now let's turn to chapter 7 in the book of Romans with Pastor Brian Parrish.
Isn't that the way the world is living today? Well, I have this desire, so it therefore must be acceptable. It must be okay. God must have given it to me. The law comes in and says which passions are right and which passions are wrong, what's holy and what's sinful. And I want to just take a little bit of a detour here. Go back to Romans chapter 1. And within the church today, there is a battle, and it's going to continue to rage over the whole homosexual movement. There are churches that are embracing homosexuality. There's actually ministers, I don't even want to call them that, that are homosexuals, and they're professed to be following Jesus Christ, teaching the Bible. And there's other churches who say, well, you know, it's a natural thing, and science is going to show that, you know, through some gene in their brain somewhere or some other chemical, that it's natural. Well, in Romans chapter 1, I think it addresses this issue, and it relates to what we're looking at in Romans 7. Look at verse 24. It says, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. So just the context there tells us this is not good. This is dishonoring. It's unclean. Verse 25, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. Again, another statement, obviously, showing you that it's not right. For even their women exchange the natural use for what is against nature. Now, see that word natural use? It's the word function. It's a natural function, is what Paul is saying, that woman has a natural function that God designed them. God designed a woman's body and a man's body with a specific function. That's what he's saying. There's a natural function sexually for the man as well as for the woman. We go back to the book of Genesis, and we know that it's obviously male and female. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. What people are trying to do today, they're saying, I have this desire, so it must be okay. And they're trying to base their decisions, and some of the church is being gullible and falling into this, saying that, well, it must be a God-given thing. They're born that way. They seem to be that way from a young child, and they're buckling under, I think, the pressure of what society has. And I think it is going to become more of an issue in the church and in society, as obviously it is. But Paul doesn't say here that the desires aren't there. I believe those desires are obviously present in that person's life. But God says it's wrong because he designed man to be with woman and the woman to be with the man. That's the natural function. Just because the desires are there doesn't mean it's acceptable or right. And when the law comes in and we tell these people, don't do that, that's against God's law, that's why there's this violent reaction. And it's getting more hostile and more aggressive. Where now, as we are the bigots, and we are the ones that are off in society, because we're telling people you can't do certain things. And when the law is preached, and you tell a homosexual, you can't do that, that's against God's law, it actually incites a rebellion towards that. And the law arouses that passion. So you start telling people, don't do that. I'm not saying we shouldn't tell them. But you start telling them that, that's what happens. I think that's what's happening in the church today. Churches will stand up and say, that's wrong. And Paul says it's their function. The natural function is for the man and the woman to be together. It's unnatural, he says, for men to be with men and women to be with women. So it's not a matter of desire. It's a matter of what you do with those desires. What does God say? The law comes in and condemns those things. And I think we are in for a battle on our hands. You need to be able to handle these questions that will rise up where someone will say, well, I just seem to have this desire since I was a little kid. You say, well, big deal. Maybe someone has a bad temper. Should they go off and kill people because they have a desire to? Or should they have sexual relations with children because they have a desire? It's not a matter of desire. God says there's right and there's wrong, and the law is clear on these subjects. That's not what you're created for. It's simple. If something is created for a specific function, a hammer is what? Created to nail a nail, or created for to nail something into a wall, right? Pretty simple. Our bodies are created for a function, for a purpose. And it wasn't for a man to be with a man and for a woman to be with a woman. So when God's law says, no, this is wrong, or this is the way we're supposed to be, that's the finality of it. It doesn't matter how I feel about that or what desires I have in my body. And even the law, as it says, it kind of incites the rebellion because of that sinful nature so deep and so deeply rooted in people's lives. You tell them no, and they want to say yes. And that's from a young child's age. You've got a little child, don't do that, and what do they want to do? Just something that we're born with. I think if you did a little illustration, a little example, if you went over to the Sunday school tonight and put 5,000 toys in the room and put one blue one over in the corner and said, whatever you do, do not touch that blue toy. And you leave the room and you put a video camera in there, what do you think all those kids are going to want to do now? Okay, now put all those same kids in there, all the toys, put the blue one over in the corner. Maybe it's a broken down one and it was before. Just let them go at it. They could care less about that toy over in the corner. There's something in us when the law says don't, in the old nature, wants to rebel against. That's what the law was doing, was working in us, against us that way. And so we definitely needed a power to come in and to break that. Go back to Romans 7. But I tell you, I see this over and over again, that it is going to be more of a battleground in the church. In the church, not just in the political arena. This whole idea of the homosexuality and that. And you need to think biblically on the subject. Just because a person says, I have a desire to do it, does not make it right. The law comes in and condemns it in no uncertain terms. So that's what was happening to us before. It was aroused by the law, what was working in our members and our physical body to bear fruit to death. But now, and there's the contrast, we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we are held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. And that's where we're at now. See, the law could not give you power to break that sinful nature that we had. It was actually working against us. But now, because we died with Christ and we have a new nature, the Spirit of God takes residence in us. Now we are free from the law, but not free to live any old way that we want. That's not what Christian liberty is about. Now we're free, one, in verse 4, to bear fruits, and free in verse 6, to serve God. That's what the power of Jesus Christ in our life gives us, the freedom to do. And I think you're way off if you think freedom means I can live any old way that I want. The Bible never says that. What God is now, he's broken sin over your life as a slave, and now Romans 6 tells us we're a slave to righteousness. And so now, for the first time in our life, we have a power to bear fruit to God and to serve Him in a lot of different capacities. And it says, in the newness of the Spirit. And that's obviously in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the energy of the Holy Spirit, rather than me trying to raise up to some standard and find some acceptance before God. Now the Spirit of God takes up residence in my life, and it produces His fruit as well as the service. And I want to look at several passages that relate to this topic. Turn with me over to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Verse 8, very familiar. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. And so now what God does at salvation is places in me the Spirit and creates me with the ability to do good works. It's just a natural outgrowth of what salvation is. I'm created in Christ Jesus for good works. I love this word workmanship. It should be translated a masterpiece. Because it was used of only those that were skilled in art, or whatever they would produce, it would be a workmanship. And so we're actually God's workmanship. And so the works that are going to be able to be produced through our life are not based on me, but on God. And so that's why the rest of the verse, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. So it's not just works or service that I desire to do or I create, but God actually creates me with the ability to live out the life that's pleasing to Him, or to fulfill the calling to serve Him in the way that He has called me to serve Him. So salvation is a work from God from beginning to end. He doesn't stop and save you and say, okay, go for it. But He saves you and empowers you to bear fruit and empowers you to do good works. So whatever good works God's prepared for me out there in the future, He is working on me to give me the ability and the power and the life to be able to do them. And that's why it's not by might or by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. So whatever God's called you to do, He's going to also gift you and give you those abilities to do that. And so it's His power, it's His might, it's His work. And same in the area of holiness. He's going to continue to work in your life with the things that He's called you to do. You know, in verse 10 there, I think it's very simple. I look at my own life. God's called me to be a pastor. So what He called me. I didn't choose to be a pastor. The Bible says, Jesus said, you didn't choose me, but I chose you to bear fruit. I'd never signed up anywhere. I filled out no resumes. God just said, you're the one that I want. And my heart said, okay, I don't know how this is going to happen. I remember years back sitting at school. I was going, how am I ever going to be a pastor? I mean, Calvary Chapel, they don't have like a pastor school you go through and they give you a church. I was just so frustrated, wondering how could this ever take place. Me and my friends were all sitting around. They're all pastors now and missionaries. We look back and we laugh. We forgot that, hey, maybe God had a plan. Maybe God was actually had a plan in the future that I could not figure out. But we were just so stressed out. But God called me. He's the one that made the way. And He also gave me the ability to teach the Bible, to speak in front of people. Now, I think what a lot of people wrestle with, you say, okay, well, what is my service that the Lord's called me to? And I simply tell people, I think it's whatever God's given you a joy to do. Do you think the service that God's created us to do is going to be some burden and some drudgery and something that we hate to do? I think God wants to give us great joy in our service unto Him. He's making a masterpiece, not some pile of junk, but He's making something beautiful for His glory. Do you really think you want someone serving Him while they're grumbling, I really hate this, but I'll do it because God asked me? If that's what's happening, you're in the wrong spot.
Thank you, Pastor Brian, for that good word of practical application for all of us. If you'd like more information about Calvary Chapel Bible Ministry School, our two-year program, or our correspondence courses, or if you'd like tapes from past programs, you can give us a call on the number that you'll hear after the program, or you can dial us up on the World Wide Web at www.calvarylm.com.